telephone with us, as always, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, from the center of the universe this morning. It's Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences, president of VersaBar Incorporated. Johnny, how are you?
TVJ, great. We're good down here. It's nice and cool. Nice and cool, Steve.
Mike Ditka in Chicago. Mike, you made it home. What a travel nightmare. No hotel lights or cold water for the showers. You did not have it very good when you were on the East Coast with that storm.
Well, it was just those 2 days, Steve. Going in wasn't bad. I got in before the snow, and I came home after the snow. So that far, I went to New York. I had to go to New York. It was amazing to me. You know, it's only, 2 hours from Connecticut, and there was hardly any snow in New York City at all. So, but, you know, I'm not a big New York City fan.
Okay, your take on Herman Cain, Johnny?
Well, Herman, of course, they're all out for him, and he's had this flap with, sexual harassment in the 90s. Not unpredictable, but Steve, I think he's handling it all right. We'll see. It's a little early to think that that's going to really knock him down. I think he's getting a whole lot of free press, and I think he's getting some more money in, and that's really what keeps you going. And I don't know how substantial these allegations are. Mike, I don't know how serious that is.
Well, I don't either, John, and I would be foolish to comment on it, but I know that when you become the front runner, you become the guy that they become scared of, they go after you. It seems a little bit, you know, far-fetched that somebody would all of a sudden remember there was sexual harassment and didn't remember 2 months ago or 5 months ago or 10 years ago, but all of a sudden it comes up now. It's kind of coincidental, but then again, I mean, that's our life. So, I mean, if he is a strong candidate as people feel he is, this will not affect him that much. If he isn't, it will affect him.
So I think he's still in there, Stevie. I wouldn't write Mr. Cain off. This could actually help. I don't know that he's exhibited a pattern of this through the years, and so I think from that standpoint, any publicity is good publicity. It is one of the adages of politics. You know, there's a limit to that, in my opinion. But getting your name out there is key, and a lot of people are talking about Herman Cain.
Is it fair that the accusers remain anonymous?
Well, of course not.
And you know, what can sexual harassment be? If I put my arm around one of my waitresses and say, hi, honey, how are you? That can be sexual harassment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have no intention of it being anything like that. It's a friendship gesture. Well, but I guess anybody can spin it any way they want to spin it. And if that individual wanted to spin it that way, I would just have to say, I'm sorry. You have to understand who you're around. There are a lot of, and believe me, and I say this all in all honesty, there are a lot of good people, a lot of people that are looking for excuses to cry out sexual harassment. There are a lot of people who wouldn't cry sexual harassment no matter what happened.
Even the liberals, Johnny, are saying, you know, one of the accusers says he made me feel uncomfortable. And when I heard a liberal commentator last night, I said, what does that mean?
I mean, you could be, someone could think that you're looking at them funny and you're not even looking at them.
Right.
And that's, you know, that made me uncomfortable. So Mike's right. It's a lot of latitude there. And again, I haven't seen or heard any real substantiable evidence of this being a pattern.
It's all the negativeness of it. You're right, John. There is nothing substantial, but it's all the negative of it. If you don't have the guts to come public after 20-some years on a sexual harassment thing, why even mention it?
Yeah. Well, and then it didn't seem to hurt the 42nd president. He came just barreling through, and every state there was someone coming out of the woodwork on him, and he won. I don't think this is going to go on a lot longer because I don't think it'll keep kind of renewing itself with other incidents. So
well, I mean, I would not be shocked, though, but the way this all works, Johnny and Mike, I would not be shocked that in a week and a half, we see Barbara Walters sitting with a crying woman about the trauma she endured under Herman Cain.
Could be. It could
I
very well be.
I mean, you may be right, but I doubt it. I really don't. I think it would be a complete put-up if it was, because it's not a fact at all.
All right.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think we've seen so much that we're just kind of inured, meaning we're numb to this kind of thing, and that's the other thing going for Herman is that like we talked about earlier, the bar's so low, Steve, it just almost takes more to get you worried about somebody. Nobody trusts anybody anyway.
Well, doesn't it make the businessman like you, Johnny, like you, Mike, I mean, even more reticent or hesitant to even get involved in this stuff?
Well, in politics, sure.
I think you walk a fine line in life, guys. You got to understand where you're at, who you're with, and who you work for, and things like that. I understand that there are different codes with different corporations and companies, but I think common sense, my God, I mean, you can tell when somebody's trying to hit on somebody and somebody isn't.
Yeah.
Stop it. I mean, there's such a thing as a friendly gesture, but some people will take that and spin it whatever way they want to spin it to get at that individual. They may not like them. They may not like their power position. They may not like something about, and that's why they do it. And it's a shame.
And then, too, when you're working with someone day in and day out, you're likely to do something that's a little marginal or say something that you might even regret. That's not necessarily a chronic sexual harassment. That's just part of relationships. And, we all say things that regret. It's just nothing you can hang on someone as a kind of a stamp of negativity, and I don't think this is going to go. We'll have to see. There's other candidates in the race, Steve.
Yeah, and you know what? Newt Gingrich continues to climb. The latest polling nationally had Herman Cain 26, Romney 23, and Newt at 14.
He just keeps inching up because he's consistent. He's smart. And the main thing is the media did quite a job on Newt Gingrich, and he helped, but people are seeing Newt Gingrich and saying, he doesn't seem that bad to me, and they're like, what was it that was bad about Newt? And so the media's got to work that issue. But meanwhile, Herman Cain's drawing all their fire. One good thing about multiple candidates, Mike, they can't get them all at the same time.
but they'll pick the next one that's climbing the ladder. They'll go after him. And if it's Newt, that's who they'll go after.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I mean, they went after Palin, they destroyed her. They go after. I mean, if they want to destroy the other lady, they would destroy her. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, listen to this clip from Newt Gingrich talking about Sarah Palin 4 years ago, and I think this is why people like Newt Gingrich. He is so articulate. Well, listen to what he does to this MSNBC reporter.
But to be fair, her resume is not something that we're familiar seeing with presidential candidates.
Wow, it's stronger than Barack Obama's. I don't know why you guys walk around saying this baloney. She has a stronger resume than Obama. She's been a real mayor. He hasn't. She has been a real governor. He hasn't. She's been in charge of the Alaska National Guard. He hasn't. She was a whistleblower who defeated an incumbent mayor. He has never once shown that kind of courage. She's a whistleblower who turned in the chairman of her own party and got him fined $12,000. I've never seen Obama do one thing like that. She took on the incumbent governor of her own party and beat him, and then she beat a former Democratic governor in the general election. I don't know of a single thing Obama's done except talk and write. And I'd like you to tell me one thing you think Senator Obama's done.
Thanks very much, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to leave it there.
Leave it there. That's what.
Leave it there. I like that.
I mean, wow. But Gingrich has such a gift of, he's smart, and he's so experienced.
Well, it's so true what you said. It's just pathetic. But that's what these reporters do. I mean, they're going to lash out, and you're the right, you're the left, you're the bad guy, you're the good guy. I'm not sure I really understand it.
But it's interesting that clip's very interesting to me, Mike, because it's a technique that we've seen more and more, which is a list of facts that have nothing to do with the agenda or the manipulative point that's trying to be made.
Yeah.
And the technique is to kind of look off into to the right, kind of glaze off and say, thank you very much. Completely ignore it as if you're a dog barking in the street. All the lists of facts, all the things that should have been addressed if they want to talk about that, just move on.
Yeah.
And this is a technique that has been developed by the media that's very disturbing to me because it's such a blatant attempt to manipulate our thinking. And that makes me very suspicious. So that's a good clip, Steve.
The interviewer had no guts to come back on anything.
Right. Well, he didn't have any material. What was he going to say? What was he going to say to challenge that?
the point he was making wasn't anything to do with facts.
It was to
weaken an argument that's starting to make sense and to discredit the people putting forth the argument. And any kind of rebuttal has to be simply ignored because if you don't have any solid argument, you're going to look stupid.
Right.
So they've learned to just move on, but it takes no conscience to do that, in my opinion.
All right, brother. the Johnny and Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Occupy. How will this end, Mike? It's getting more violent. Oakland had Molotov cocktails thrown by the occupiers at police?
Well, the thing is, you got to understand that there's a certain segment that, I mean, I don't even know how to put it. I mean, they have no idea what the cause is. They just want to be part of the problem. And when the problem is that they want to create unrest and disturb people and do everything they can do to make people uncomfortable. But half of those people, I'll say this honestly, I doubt that half of them have any understanding why they're there. But they're part of a mob scene. And a mob scene can be very dangerous. I mean, if everybody in this country all of a sudden rises up and says, well, the rich have too much money, we got to take it from them and give it to the poor, they'll start robbing people on the street. Now, I don't know where you're going to find all the law enforcement to stop all this stuff. You guys might be able to tell me that.
Well, the other interesting, Steve, that I saw down in New Orleans when there was a group that we saw their bus, and they'd come in from somewhere, but there was only maybe 10 or 12 of them, but they were pretty intense, and I think somebody's putting up money for them to drive around the country. And then, of course, there are more naive people who kind of have this pretty, I guess they're disgruntled, or they see injustice, and they come out. They're younger usually, and they get things going, like a cause like Occupy Wall Street. But I think anyone throwing the cocktails is probably one of the more professional of the group, and I don't think it's really the kids that are confused and really don't have any way to articulate why they're there. But it's something that I think if the media was really good kind of a guardian of our democracy, they'd be investigating who are these folks and what's really starting it in the different places. And I bet you there's a story there. But that doesn't improve the cause of what they're trying to do, which is kind of disrupt things, Mike. I don't know.
Well, that's what it's all about. And you can disrupt things. I mean, you know, to me, it's revolution in a degree. And I mean, there was revolution in this country that was good. There's some that would be bad. That, you know, we all went through this in the 60s, guys. I think it's Rebels Without a Cause of my own. You know, that was a Jimmy Dean movie. I think that's what it reminds me of, Rebels Without a Cause. Because
what
their cause is, they don't know.
Wouldn't you think that if there are some paid kind of instigators, that's a big journalistic story, if it was to find the truth? And I suspect there is, and yet I don't think anybody's even looking.
Fox News discovered that a lot of ex-Acorn are the ones at the base of all of this. A lot of ex-Acorn people that have now renamed themselves.
Right.
And so they're the agitators, I think, a lot of them are like that. And I saw CNN online do a profile of 100 of them and talk about who they were, but again, it was just 100, and I guess you can pick and choose who you want in there too.
So even though they're complaining about unemployment, those people have a job,
yeah,
which is to complain about unemployment. But
yeah.
I think that's an interesting point, and the Acorn folks are paid. You know, they work for the nonprofit, and they've been political activists. And this may be one of the assignments they've gotten. But and that's what I think.
Well, they're paid protesters, right? They're paid protesters,
essentially. And how's it going to end? I don't know. If someone keeps paying them, it's not going to end. I mean, that's, you know, they'll move on to another spot, or they'll just stay out there.
But
don't worry. The government will give Acorn another grant, so they'll be okay.
Right. They'll probably get a raise.
But Johnny, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac story, where we find this week executives will get their $12.8 million bonuses, and they're in debt $170 billion from us, the taxpayers. I mean, where are they protesting Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, there's no basis for a bonus like that for an organization that was really at the root of the entire economic meltdown in this country. And it's just part of what we continue to see. And I'll tell you, Mike, it's going to come to a head. I don't know if it's going to be Occupy Wall Street or it's going to be the mainstream Americans. I don't know, but it's coming to a head.
Yep. All right, we'll leave it right there. Take our break. Be right back with Johnny and Mike. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. the Johnny and Mike Ditka, Monday and Friday, 7:30 to 8. Back on with our final moments here at 7:51, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Okay, Mike, how much does Albert Pujols get as a free agent? And is there pressure on Albert because he more or less can set the bar for the entire union from the standpoint of top pay?
Well, you know, and let me say that I don't want to sound like somebody who doesn't respect Albert Pujols. He's going to get whatever team pays, let's face it. Now, is somebody going to pay too much? Yeah, you're probably right. Somebody will. Is it going to be the Cardinals? I don't think so. He's 31, isn't he?
Yep.
Which is not old. Means he could play for seven more years. But all I'm saying is this, there comes a point in football, baseball, basketball, hockey, where you cannot destroy your pay structure. You know, I hear all the stuff, and listen, I think nobody deserves a contract more than Matt Forte. But if it is going to destroy the pay, the Bears' pay schedule, structure and throw it out of whack, then I understand why they're not trying to do it right now. The same thing with Pujols. I'm sure there'll be a team, but, you know, guys, we watched it. Who was the MVP of the World Series? Freeze?
Yep.
And the next one would have been Berkman.
I mean, look at the guys who came up and played big. Now, Pujols had one game, a three-home run game, and then after that, he really disappeared. And I like Albert Pujols. I'm not knocking him. So what I'm trying to tell you, it's not about one man. It's about a team. It's about a manager. It's about getting these guys to do the right thing. And if anybody deserves a pay raise, it would be Tony DeLuca, because he pulled all the right buttons. He pushed all the right keys. He did everything he had to do to get this team to do the right things. And nobody would have gave him a chance 3 weeks before the end of the season.
But, Stevie, if you look at Craig and Berkman and Freeze,
yeah,
and think about baseball, it's like, you know, and Albert had a game that was great for baseball. I mean, that everybody was talking about it. Cards would have won the game anyway, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how bad they beat the Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you what, I don't think anyone's going to offer any more than the Cardinals' last offer, which I think was close to $30 million a year, but just for 7 years instead of 10.
Yeah.
I don't know if that offer's still on the table.
Well, yeah, and that's the point, John. How much is enough? I mean, come on. If it's $31 million or $32 million or $34 million, well, what's the difference? I mean, really, what is the difference? This becomes where the agents get into business. When they can drive and say, oh, I got the biggest contract. Well, guys, that'll set them up for the next young kids coming up.
Is there union pressure, Mike? Would there be union pressure on Albert to hold out?
Well, I don't know if there is. It would be wrong because individuals, the union is supposed to support the player. So if a player makes a decision that he thinks is best for his own interest, then why not support him?
Well, and the other thing is I thought the Cardinals were extremely reasonable. Basically, they said, yeah, we'll pay you that. You're worth that. But doggone, I don't know about for 10 years,
yeah,
Albert,
right,
because,
right,
you know, he was hurt a little bit this year.
Yeah.
But I think that was a heck of an offer.
I can end this and very simply say I don't think they'll do it. I wouldn't do it. Now, people go out there are going to say, you're nuts. He's this, the bad, he's the best. But he may be. I'm just saying I wouldn't do it if I owned the team. Now, in saying that, we watched what the Cubs did, the way they threw their money around.
Yeah.
And what do they get for it? They got a bunch of has-beens who can't play.
Of course, Albert, they
hired a general manager. I'm worried about hiring a manager. What difference does it make?
I wouldn't mind seeing Albert up in Wrigley, to be honest.
Oh, boy.
To be honest.
I don't know. Yeah, they're talking about building the Cubs from the bottom and really getting a good minor league system.
And it's not going to be Albert Pujols, believe me, because he's not going to sign anybody over 31 years old or 30 years old, I don't think. But, you know, that, and I'm not sure I understand that either. Because if you can bring in a guy that has leadership qualities, that's in his 30s, that can help you for 1 or 2 years put that team back on track, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
You got to be careful when you set these ironclad rules.
Right.
There's got to be an exception somewhere for everything. If you're not, there's going to be a problem.
All right, NFL, quickly, I think that if Green Bay is going to lose a game anytime soon, Mike, it's going to probably have to be at San Diego this Sunday?
Well, I don't think Green Bay's going to lose to San Diego on Sunday. I think San Diego's got their own grave. I mean, they understand that they could have won the last 2 weeks, and they lost the last 2 weeks. They let them slip away. I don't think Green Bay is setting up in Green Bay worrying about, well, geez, I don't know. Maybe San Diego's not playing. You know, they should have won those games, and maybe they'll win. No, they're going in there with that. They're winning a game. Now, can San Diego, do they have the talent to upset them? Absolutely. I mean, Rivers is great, but their problem right now, they have a lot of injuries, and especially in the running game. They really don't have a running game right now because of that. So I think what's happened with Rivers, everybody asks the same question. I think the pressure, he's forcing the ball. There's too much responsibility on his shoulders right now.
Well, and to tell you what, and this is just ridiculous almost to say right now, but I can't see any way Green Bay's not back in the Super Bowl because I don't see anyone taking home field, and I think Lambeau in January is one of your better home field advantages,
well,
especially if you got a Detroit or a New Orleans that might be there, and they're dome teams.
Well, I make one statement, though. I think a lot depends on what happens Monday night in Philadelphia with the Bears. I think if the Bears can play good football and win that game, I think you got to watch out. They're starting to make a move now, and they're starting to do some things a lot better than they've done. And that means they're running the ball a lot better. They're protecting the quarterback a lot better. And we know they can play defense, and we know they can play specialty. So, you know, if they can do those things and not turn the ball over, it'll be interesting.
And the Bears, or the Giants could beat Green Bay in Lambeau Field, and for example. And
that's true. I agree with that. Yeah.
So that's right. So that's why they're going to keep playing them. But,
Saints need a win too, Johnny.
Well, it's in the dome against Tampa Bay. We're in the dome. Drew plays real well in there, and of course our defense is a different team because you really cannot hear. I think there's a lot of stadiums. Mike's been in all of them, and is there really any place that's any louder than the New Orleans Superdome, Mike?
No. The old dome up in Minnesota used to be bad, but New Orleans is really bad. But I've been around football a long time, and I was more surprised to see what happened to New Orleans and St. Louis last week. I couldn't believe it. Now, you know, people say, well, New Orleans didn't play good. It wasn't what New Orleans did. It was what St. Louis did.
Yeah.
They played great.
Watching that St. Louis defense, that's right. Watching the St. Louis defense was one of the biggest surprises.
The 85 Bears.
Mike, it's like you told Steve when he made a par, where you been? Where you been the whole day?
That's right. Hey, we'll leave it there. We'll catch up on Monday. And a week from today, Mike, you'll be in Champaign. Everybody's looking forward to seeing you.
All right, guys. Take care. I love it. Be good.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Talk to you later.
Brother
Bye.
Johnny, Mike Ditka, every Monday and Friday. We appreciate you listening. And you can catch it on our podcast later on today at myconnectfm.com. Click on the podcasts, and you can listen again if you'd like. Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, with Hall of Famer Mike Ditka, who will be in town next Friday night. All part of the...